Well, let's start with the Memorandum of Understanding. In broad strokes, what would it do if it's approved in its current form?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's identify the players. For the Christina School District, we have the Board of Education, Superintendent Rick Gregg, and the Christina Education Association, the Teachers Union. For the state, we have Governor John Carney's office and the Department of Education through the new Office of Innovation and Improvement, which Carney asked the department to create this year. Now, the purpose of the memo is to establish a framework to improve education opportunities for children who live in the Wilmington portion of the Christina School District. The part of the memo that's getting the most attention is a proposal to consolidate 5 Christina schools into 2 buildings, transforming Bancroft and Byard Middle Schools into facilities that would house children from kindergarten through 8th grade. These schools would operate with a longer school day and a longer school year than the schools that are in the Christina District's suburban portion. On top of that, there'd be a variety of wraparound services, most notably what's being called a dual generation center, which would provide services for children before they enter kindergarten and programs for adults as well, like literacy classes, job training, and parenting support.
So is this a markedly different approach from what we've seen in recent plans that have kind of come from the Markell administration and subsequently from the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the Carney administration and the Department of Education are working collaboratively with Christina officials to develop a plan. And that's a sharp contrast to Markell's initial approach, which many Christina officials considered essentially a state effort to take control of their schools. No, in the sense that many of the ideas contained in the memo, like the wraparound services for children and their parents, more and better training for educators working in urban schools, were recommended by the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission, which is the group that Markell created to study city school issues after his priority schools plan failed to gain traction in Christina.
So what are the points of contention, at least right now, that are holding this MOU up? There seem to be a few in this latest iteration of it.
The big issue is funding, which comes into play in a couple of ways. No one is sure of the real cost because the detail work here hasn't been done. The state's budget squeeze earlier this year was a factor in WEEC's recommendations not being adopted, and Carney's team is taking in a cautious approach to funding as a result. They have pledged $2 million to get the Dual Generation Center started, and $1.5 million, which would be increased by 2% a year to fund a combination of things, including professional development, the health centers, incentives for teachers, and innovative education programs. But notably missing is any commitment for special funding targeted at low-income children, English language learners, and special education students in kindergarten through third grade. Most states provide such funding supplements, but Delaware does not. WEEC recommended the supplements, and they were mentioned in a previous version of the memo deleted from the current one because the state doesn't think the General Assembly would approve the additional funds. Now, there's another piece of the funding issue. The latest version of the memo specifically states that Delaware won't provide extra money to pay salaries for staff members who would be working longer school days and a longer school year contemplated in the plan. Equally important, the two buildings that would need renovation to serve kids in different grade levels. The state and the school districts usually split construction costs on a 60-40 ratio. An early version of the memo proposed 100% state funding. The current version calls for an 80-20 split. Anything less than 100% state funding, however, would require Christina to hold a referendum to get approval of a bond issue. And Superintendent Rick Gregg is concerned that the referendum won't fly if it doesn't also include money for needed improvements to some of the district's suburban schools, because suburban parents would also have to vote in the referendum. I mean, these are just the funding issues. There are any number of other concerns as well, but funding is clearly the key hang up.
I was going to say, the other one that seemed to get some attention was the timetable as well, correct?
Well, yeah, the timetable is definitely an issue. In the latest version, the school consolidation wouldn't occur until 2019, but the health center and the dual generation center would both be in operation in 2018. And there are lots of intermediate steps in the process of establishing these new facilities. facilities, the longer it takes to get started on approving a memorandum, the harder it's going to be to follow the timetable that's in the current version of the memo.
And originally, the Carney folks wanted to do this starting next year, the whole thing.
Well, yes, they did. But they realized as things were developing that this was a little bit more complex than perhaps people had thought at first. So they've agreed at least to push things back.
So what's next for the MOU as far as getting Christina on board and trying to move forward?
Superintendent Gregg and the Christina administration have been working with Carney and the Department of Education on this proposal for about 4 months. The school board's involvement started to increase in the last month or so. Now, Gregg attended Christina schools in his youth, but he's a new superintendent, so he didn't have to go through the priority schools battle of 2 years ago. So what we have here is a very assertive school board whose members felt pushed around by the Markell administration and the Department of Education 2 years ago. They don't want a repeat of the priority schools debacle. Board members do believe that Carney and the Department of Education are currently negotiating in good faith, but they thought that the most recent revisions to the Memorandum of Understanding were a step backward from where they had been a week before. So they want to see more specifics about how the plan would improve education, a little bit more detail on what it would actually do for kids, and how it can be paid for without excessively burdening the district.
So even if the state and Christina can come to an agreement, that is really just the beginning, right? There are other hurdles waiting. You mentioned the funding piece. What else is out there that could trip this thing up?
Well, okay. For example, the Christina School Board and the Teachers Union are going to have to create their own memorandum of understanding to cover work rules and pay for teachers who would be working the longer day and the longer year in city schools. As we talked about, Christina and the state will have to develop the cost estimates for rehabbing the two schools and probably for the building that would house the dual generation center, and then they may need to have the General Assembly adjust the funding formula and very likely have Christina residents approve a referendum. All of this takes time. And then there were funding issues concerning other items in the proposal. On top of that, there are many, many broad statements, all of which are lacking in detail about new or expanded programs. Now, most of these issues and most of these details would be worked out after the memorandum is signed. However, if any of these pieces fall apart, for example, if needed additional state funding isn't approved, any of the parties has the power to pull out of the agreement, and that would essentially kill the deal.
I imagine some people are feeling a bit of deja vu here. This is not unlike what happened with former Governor Markell's priority school plans. It was rolled out with what seemed to be initial solid support, but as details emerged, so did resistance. Is that a fair comparison?
Yes, definitely a fair comparison. I mean, some people are looking at this as priority schools light or priority schools 2.0, and there are some key differences. Now, when Markell rolled out priority schools, there was talk of replacing principals at city schools in both the Christina and Red Clay districts and requiring teachers to reapply if they wanted to keep their jobs. Now, the current initiative from the Carney administration and the Department of Education talks about giving principals more control over policies and curriculum in their buildings and giving teachers additional training and financial incentives to work in city schools. But as we saw this week, the Christina board is offering some resistance. They want a plan that works, and they say they need to know more about funding and educational programming before they jump on board.
And the other thing here appears that Carney's approach, as you've kind of alluded to earlier, is a bit different. Tell us a little bit more about that. How is he kind of approaching this differently?
Okay. The key difference here is that he is definitely being more collaborative than Markell and his Secretary of Education, Mark Murphy. Markell and Murphy delivered a message 2 years ago along the lines of, you've got problems with your schools. Here's how the problem should be solved. Let's do it right now. Carney, on the other hand, has been meeting with Christina's superintendent, with his staff, with the school board. He brought a new Department of Education manager into the process. He's attended public meetings to hear citizen input, and he's even gone door to door to talk to parents. Now, time will tell whether the outcome will be different, but he's at least giving the impression of wanting to work with the people rather than telling them what to do.
One thing we aren't hearing in this conversation is WEIC, the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission, which was Markell's response, as you noted, to criticism of his effort to try and address city schools. Does WEIC still have any role to play here?
WEIC members right now are pretty much watching how all of this plays out. It's worth noting that one WEIC member, Meredith Griffin Jr., was elected to the Christina School Board earlier this year. So not only is he a WEIC member, he's also a Christina board member. WEIC people, I think, are pleased, as I've noted, that some of their proposals have found their way into the memorandum. But some members also have concerns about whether the Carney administration and the General Assembly will make the financial commitment necessary to put a successful plan in place. This whole business about special funding for English language learners and low-income children is a good example of that. Now, I think WEIC, either as a group or perhaps some individual members, will likely eventually speak out on the memorandum. But right now, the process of developing the final version of the memorandum is very fluid. Probably hear more from WEIC in February when a final version of the memorandum is ready to go to the Christina School Board for a vote and for approval.
You've been following these efforts to improve Wilmington schools now, Larry, for some time. As you watch this latest chapter, what's your biggest takeaway?
I think, you know, we've heard, it's almost a cliche, you know, with politicians talking about how making laws is a lot like making a sausage. You know, you don't want to watch how it's done, but you hope it tastes good when it's finished. And, you know, and we're seeing a lot of that right now in this process. Now, you know, you've heard me say several times on this program in the last couple of years that I thought the WEIC plan was really the best hope for improving education in Wilmington. And I still think the WEIC plan is better than what's now on the table for Christina. But what's in front of us now is, in all probability, the best we're going to get for 2018. My hope then is that state and Christina officials reach an agreement that benefits Wilmington students and that all the parties associated with the final version of the memorandum deliver the needed approvals down the line so that education in the city can begin to improve. However, what's being proposed here isn't likely to solve all the problems that city kids face. So we have to view this solution, no matter how difficult and complex it is, and no matter what is contained in it, as only the first step in what will inevitably be many steps toward improving education in the city of Wilmington.